Oh, we do like things to be all neat and tidy, but this was the week when reality bumped up against the ideal, when lofty principles were buffeted by real-world facts. Take, for example, our new climate-aware Christmas.
There's a lot of, you can't do that, and you can't eat that, and you can't put that in your tree.
Or take our politics.
We're in a confidence and supply arrangement.
Ah, come on, Neil, now, come on. We all know how this works.
Or take snails.
What are you practicing here for I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here in the jungle?
We'll get to the others later, but first, the snails. The snails were on Arena. Well, actually, they were on Amanda Coogan.
The only thing I could do is get the snails to crawl on my body and make these lovely, beautiful paintings with their trails.
She's a performance artist, and she told Sean Rocks how she'd decided she'd recreate a painting by Alice Marr with snails in it.
Crawling up your arms all over your body. How clothed are you for this crawling process?
There's not a lot of clothes on. But it's not
so it's next to your skin, the snail.
Oh, they're on my skin, absolutely. So I stand there motionless, and the snails move upwards in the body. They seem to like the hair and the chin and the ear, and they kind of hang around in different places and kind of pick at the hairs of your skin.
Amanda Coogan from Arena, half shuddering and half laughing at her art. And there were a lot of laughs on the radio this week, and plenty of them on Arena. On the programme, A.B. Philbin Bowman played us a few clips from the Australian comedian Hannah Gadsby.
It starts off, you're watching it, it feels like a very conventional comedy show. Here she is talking about being a lesbian and not always being totally comfortable within the sort of, you know, gay pride, LGBT community. Here's her take on that.
My favourite sound in the whole world is the sound of a teacup finding its place on a saucer. Oh, it's very, very difficult to flaunt that lifestyle in a parade. I don't even like the flag. Controversial. There, I've said it. Now, the pride flag. Now, I love what it means. That is perfect. Pride, wonderful. But the flag itself, a bit busy. It's just six very shouty, assertive colours stacked on top of each other, no rest for the eye. An afternoon of that waving in my face, I need to express my identity through the metaphor of a nap.
Hannah Gadsby from Arena, part of an item about how her show mixes serious observations about life as a gay woman with comedy. And of course, someone who straddled the world of the serious and the comic in one career was also featured on Arena on the day of his death. And that's comedian and actor Neil Tobin. First, the actor bit. Arena recalled Tobin's role as Brendan Behan in Borstal Boy.
Some in the convict's dreary cell have found a living tomb, and some unsane, untended fell within the dungeon's gloom. But what care we, although it be trod by a ruffian band? God bless the clay where rest today the felons of our land. The dinners went past me. I could smell. Well, that it made showcase, you shout of bastards. Wasn't it a great pity that the fellow that was doing the suffering couldn't be where the singing was to get the benefit of it? Mother of Christ, wasn't there a thousand places between Belfast and Bantry Bay where a fellow would be stuffed with grub, not to mind doused in porter, if he could only be there and here at the same time?
Sean Rocks, the presenter of Arena, was in that production of Borstal Boy with Neil Tobin.
And I played one of the warders, and there was a scene where I had to empty the piss pot over the young Behan's head, and as the older Behan, Neil Tobin, standing behind me was watching. And I did it night after night, and I wasn't quite getting it right. And I said, at some point I said to Neil, I know there's a laugh there somewhere, but I'm not getting it. And he said, oh yeah, if you just wait until you finish the line, then pour the pot over the young Behan, then say the second part of the line, you'll get your laugh. Of course, I tried it the next night, and hey presto, the laugh arrived.
Sean also played part of one of Neil Tobin's stand-up performances.
This performance was recorded in his native Cork, and here he tells the audience how Dublin Corporation advertised for the building of a public convenience. So they put the contract out to tender.
They only got three replies. They got one from a Dublin builder. He was the first man in, and they said, what's your bid? And he said, well, I'll tell you the truth, I wasn't going to bother. I wasn't going to bother me ass, no, I'll tell you that. And I know that's a crude expression, but in view of the nature of the building he's having mind, I think it's an appropriate one. And I wasn't, but I tell you what I'll do, I'll open the grapevine, you have only £3,000, and I'll do it for the £3,000. And they said, well, what is the breakdown and the figures? Well, he said, it'd be £1,000 for labour, it'd be £1,000 materials, and it'd be £1,000 profit. I think that's a fair offer. You know, you wouldn't get much better. They said, all right, we'll let you know. So the second man was a cavern builder. And they said, and what's your bid? He said, oh, £6,000. And they said, and what's the breakdown in that? Well, he said, there'll be £2,000 profit for a start, and I think it's 2,000, is it labour or material, something like that. Anyway, it's £6,000 round figure, and if I was you would grab it, you know, like, because it's a very good offer. That'll be gone up tomorrow, you. Everything's going up, and if I was you would grab it, said, all right, we'll let you know. So the third man in was a builder from here, in Cork. And they said, and what's your bid? Whoa! £9,000. They said, and what's the breakdown in that? £3,000 for you. £3,000 for me, and we give the job to the Dublin fella. What I love about that story is that some people think it's a joke. Keep them that way. Cheerio!
The late Neil Tobin has heard on Arena sneaking a history lesson into his jokes. Another place that history is concealed, particularly social history, is in requests into music shows. For example, this one from John Creedon's show.
And wait till you hear this. I just think this is beautiful. I must say I'm humbled when I see something like this. It says, John, I was wondering if you could play a request from my husband, Colm, and his sister, Bridget, having been reunited after 50 years following their adoptions. One of their joint pastimes in the evening has been listening to your show. Could you possibly play It Ain't Necessarily So by Bronski Beat, a great version of the Gershwin number? Thanks so much, says Michelle. We certainly will, Michelle. So there she is, sending love to her husband, Colm, and his sister, Bridget. I think everybody in the room is smiling. You know, when you hear that, it's fantastic that that circle has been closed after half a century. For you both, this is Ain't Necessarily So.
From John Creedon, a request for a brother and sister reunited after 50 years. There was a bit of a sister-brother thing going on the Ray Darcy show, where Ray was talking to Laura Gahan about her need for a new kidney.
And when you found out that you needed a kidney, you went around asking people.
To be honest, when you get told you need a kidney, it's like you're stuck for words. You don't really know. Like, you're in shock, even though you kind of knew that it would be coming. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't expect it so soon. I've always had headaches and stuff. And my mama thought she'd be a match, and she was devastated to find out she wasn't. And my brother offered to give me his kidney.
What's his name?
Glenn.
Right.
And Glenn, from, he looked at me in bed, and around Christmas time I couldn't get up or eat me dinner or anything, and said, I'm going to give her a kidney.
For Christmas.
And as that showed was, let's hurry up and get it over and done with, you know. It wasn't, oh God, I'm dreading it. He just wanted to see me well, and he wanted me to have a new lease of life, and he gave me that.
Every time I hear a story about somebody donating a kidney, I'm just in awe, because it's such a selfless thing to do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. He's very kind-hearted now, yeah. I have to say. I'm still paying him off. All the cups of tea, still asking. When I make him a cup of tea, you know, he tells me, I gave you a kidney, you know.
And has it brought you closer, as brother and sister?
We're always close anyway, you know. If I'm walking to the house, he'd say to me, I knew you were coming, I felt my kidney.
Laura Gahan with Ray Darcy. This is Lizzo from the Tracy Clifford Show on 2FM.
I just took a DNA test, turns out I'm 100% that bitch. Even when I'm crying crazy, yeah, I got boy problems, that's the human in me. Bling, bling, then I solve them, that's the goddess in me.
You could have had a bad bitch, not committal. Help you with your career, just a little.
You're supposed to hold me down, but you're holding me back. And that's the sound, I mean, not calling you back.
Lizzo with Truth Hurts from the Tracy Clifford Show on 2FM. And just before that, Tracy had been talking to Lizzo about the possibility of playing in Malahide Castle. And guess what? Lizzo had just been there and got herself a bit spooked.
So we were there and there was this, and they said there's a ghost and he died of a broken heart or whatever. And he was little, and there was this little door that we all had to knock on for good luck as we left the castle, and it was his door. So I was so scared. I was like, oh my God. And I knocked on it, and then we walked away. And then I was about to leave. I took pictures with the girls and I was like, I don't know where my phone is. I couldn't find my phone. And they looked all in the castle for it. And then we called it, and it was in my dancer's pocket outside. And she was like, how did it get in here?
Okay, stop.
And it happened right after I knocked on his door.
Oh my God.
I know. It's so creepy in there.
Lizzo with Tracy Clifford on 2FM. And just before the break and still on 2FM, a couple of one-liners. Dave Fanning on his show was recalling an answer given by comedian Barry Murphy to a magazine questionnaire for celebrities.
Like, who's the first person you'd invite to your party? What's your favourite term of abuse? All those things. And the biggest term of abuse was, is that your own head, or did you buy it in a shop that sells crap heads?
Dave Fanning. And on The Breakfast Show, they have a slot where they read out tweets called Tweet Tweet Yeah.
Tweet Tweet, Tweet Tweet Yeah!
This week, Darren Garrahy picked up on a tweet by another Irish comedian.
Dara O'Brien, oh my God, I love this so much. He tweeted a picture from a newspaper article. And you know in a newspaper article, there's the main article, but then they have like quotes that are kind of in bigger font.
Yeah.
So the big font says, some of the Pakistanis in Balahadurin branched into businesses of their own in the town. Until recently, one man, Abdul, ran a hackney service. Locally, he was known as Abdullah Walia.
Oh, that's very good.
Greg O'Shea with Darren Garrahy from the 2FM Breakfast Show. You know there's that phrase, there are lies, damned lies, and then there are statistics. And occasionally it insinuates itself into the national conversation. Well, this week, the question of the reliability of statistics high-kicked its way onto the national stage, courtesy of one Deputy Noel Grealish.
Over the past 8 years alone, over 10 billion euro has left this country by way of personal transfers. And the top three countries, 1.54 billion to Poland, 2.7 billion to the United Kingdom, and 3.54 billion was sent to Nigeria. Has Revenue or the Department of Finance any way of tracking this money or where it is coming from? Taoiseach, the question I'm asking to you is, what controls are put in place to ensure that all this money is proper paid and tax is properly paid on it, Taoiseach? That's the question I'm asking, that the proper controls put in place.
Noel Grealish in the Dáil, and he was being shouted at by Deputy Ruth Coppinger, who described his remarks as racist. And on Morning Ireland, Dr. Ebon Joseph, UCD lecturer originally from Nigeria, had words for Noel Grealish.
And I hope he's very proud of himself this morning, because what he has done is that he has stirred up hate again against a group of people. And I know people are going to be out there, oh, she's going to do the race card. But Noel Grealish absolutely is the one who has done the race card this morning, because what he has done, what he's asking the Taoiseach to do, he's saying that we should begin to police black money differently. He's saying that we should begin to police people who earn in Ireland on the basis of their nationality, because what he's asking is, what have you done anything to show that this money? So you're saying, let us treat this group of people differently based on their nationality.
What is clear in relation to this and the protests around direct provision that we have seen in recent months is that migration will be now an issue in the next election campaign. How should politicians of the main parties deal with this?
Please, I cannot say this enough. What we are seeing is the politics of hate. That's what's happening. I call this kind of people Donald Trump wannabes. They are nothing but Donald Trump wannabes, because they've seen it work for Donald Trump. So what they are trying to do here is to, you know, who can I hate the most? He started, you know, I mean, we had it with Peter Casey when he started with, you know, with the Travellers. He did that and he went from 1% within 1 week in our island. He went from 1% to 21% of votes in 1 week. Or what did he do? He just hated on the Travellers.
Dr. Ebon Joseph with Audrey Carvel on Morning Ireland. And on Travellers, or Mincarry, Fianna Fáil Senator Lorraine Clifford Lee was in the news this week for old tweets that sneered at Brazilians and Travellers. Dr. Cindy Joyce, who's a traveller or Mincare, came on the Today Show with Miriam O'Callaghan.
I am disgusted at her comments. I think that she should step down. And I know that the comments were made 8 years ago, but those 8 years ago, she was still a 30-year-old woman that was a solicitor, but she was also part of the Fianna Fáil National Executive. And I think that a mistake is one tweet, perhaps, and apologise, but it wasn't a mistake when we can see that it's a barrage of tweets after tweets. And not only were they racist, slurs that she mentioned, like the words pikey and knacker. Pikey is used particularly in the UK, whereas knacker is used particularly in Ireland. And we can see that her comments are not particularly helpful for young children in the Minka community, particularly in school when they're hearing these words continuously. We can see that would also affect mental health. So I don't think she should be in the position she's in.
Dr. Cindy Joyce with Miriam O'Callaghan. Yesterday, Senator Clifford Lee spoke to Carol Coleman from the This Week programme.
What happened back then was totally inappropriate and wrong, and I'm very sorry for offending people. It was many years before I was engaged in electoral politics, and in no way reflects my opinion on minority issues. I've been my true attitude is reflected in what I've done and what I have said since I've been in a position to influence things.
There might be some people out there who'd say, that's who she is. She wrote those words. You can't change them. How do you sort of disassociate yourself from something that was your own words?
It was a long time ago, and I suppose we all evolve as people. And, you know, I'm now a mother, and I suppose I have educated myself a lot in relation to minority issues in recent years. And, you know, people make mistakes, and it's the recognition of those mistakes, and it's how you act. And since I have been a public person, that was in a private capacity. Since I have been a public person, I have worked very, very hard in relation to minority issues.
Senator Clifford Lee speaking to Carol Coleman from the This Week programme as heard on Morning Ireland yesterday morning. And Taoiseach Leo Varadkar described Fianna Fáil's response to Senator Clifford Lee's tweets as inadequate. But of course, it's not all as straightforward as that for Fianna Fáil, because Senator Clifford Lee is a candidate for the Dublin Fingal by-election for the party, and the party need her, as Jennifer Bray from the Irish Times explained.
Particularly coming on the back of the voting controversy, there's a feeling that these are kind of own goals, if you will. And the worry is that it was already assumed that leading up to the by-elections that the Votegate controversy would have had an impact at the polls. And now the fear is, where will this leave her in terms of her seat? And that was a seat which Fianna Fáil privately believing that they would have got. So there's issues internally and just extreme exasperation that they're on the back foot again at a time when they should be pummeling Fine Gael, you know, in the lead up to a general election.
Jennifer Bray from the Irish Times and Late Debate with Katie Hannan. On the same programme, the panel also discussed Noel Grealish's comments about Nigerians sending home vast amounts of money. He wasn't telling lies. He was using statistics from the World Bank. And according to the World Bank, Nigerians living here and Irish Nigerians, of whom there are about 13,000, are sending home about 680 million euros a year. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said in the Dáil, though, that our own Central Statistics Office has very different figures.
They indicate that remittances from Ireland to Nigeria are about 17 million a year, which isn't an enormous figure. Poland, 342, Latvia, 50, Hungary, 28. I could go on. So these are the figures we have from the CSO. In relation to the figures which Deputy Grealish used, they were from the World Bank. However, I understand that the World Bank remittance figures relating to Nigeria are estimates provided to the World Bank by Nigerian authorities and are not actual data.
Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. But the Late Debate panel says things are also not so straightforward for Fine Gael. The ideals are fine, but the reality is pressing. The government rely on Noel Grealish. Unsavoury, though, his comments may be to some. This is Labour's Kevin Humphreys.
But the one thing I would like to do is to say to the Taoiseach, is like, if he holds very strong views on this, is that he should actually stop the preferential access that Noel Grealish has to ministers for supporting the government. And that's one clear message that could be sent to Noel Grealish, is your actions are not approved by this government, and we're not going to give you preferential access to government ministers. Noel Grealish has it, Mike Lowry has it, and like that should be withdrawn.
The government representative on the panel was Fine Gael's Neil Richmond.
No, I actually reject that. There's this perception that there's somehow preferential access or special treatment, but
I'd actually challenge to lay out where is that special treatment, because the Taoiseach has said his door is always open to all member bureaucrats. We're in a confidence and supply arrangement.
Come on, Niamh. We all know how this works.
You can't compare the relationship the Taoiseach or the government have with Noel Grealish or Michael Lowry compared to with Catherine Zappone or Finian McGrath, who are paid up part of the government.
That's what I'm saying. They're part of the government.
That's what the government is made up of. And a relationship with Fianna Fáil, who get pretty
good. Are you telling me that the Taoiseach did not meet with Noel Grealish and Michael Lowry and discuss how their support could be maintained throughout the period of this government?
No formal relationship, and he hasn't promised them anything in relation to both those actors.
I think it's kind of insincere to say that there's no formal relationship. I think it's well known that people who prop up the government enjoy a greater level of access to the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach's office and his staff, and that is in order to secure their support, in order to keep the minority government going. Everybody knows that, and that's a fact.
Jennifer Bray from the Irish Times on the Late Debate with Katie Hannan. This is the Henry Girls on RTE Junior. Mama gonna bargain with the old coupon. Mama gonna bargain with the old coupon. Mama gonna water that gravy down. Try to make enough to go around with five mouths to feed the papa in the ground. Mama gonna water that gravy down. Mama gonna water that gravy down. Mama gonna water that gravy down. So thank the Lord and sit up straight. Mind your manners and clean your plate. Don't ask for more, savor every drop, cause there's nothing more coming from the old coupon. Nothing more coming from the old coupon. Old Cookpot from the Henry Girls on the RTE Junior programme C is for Country. And RTE Junior played its part in this week's RTE initiative to cover the climate crisis. This is their podcast.
Ecolution. Hi, and welcome to Ecolution. I'm James Dunn. I'm 16 years old.
James started with the basics.
Close your eyes. Now, just breathe in and listen. What can you hear? Have a sniff. What can you smell? Is there any wind? Can you work out what direction it's coming from? Excuse me. Well, that is your environment. What you can see, what you can hear, feel, touch and taste. All of those things are the environment and you are part of it.
James Dunn from the RTE Junior podcast Ecolution. And yesterday, as you know, the Dáil was taken over by children and young people discussing the climate crisis. One of those, Paddy Shanahan, spoke to Miriam O'Callaghan on the Today Show.
My topic is plastic bottles. I chose this because I think it's solvable and it's a good start. And to all you listeners out there, this is going to shock you. You think Ireland's good with their plastic bottles. There's 2.5 million plastic bottles sold every day in Ireland. So it's 10:30 right now. By 10:30 tomorrow, that's another 2.5 million plastic bottles put into the sea in Ireland. I would like to get to a stage where you wouldn't be caught dead with a single-use plastic bottle, and you need to bring around a reusable bottle like your phone. I went into a shop one day. I had brought my plastic bottle. Sorry, no, I had brought my non-plastic bottle, and I had said, and I wanted water. They said, oh, would you like a plastic bottle? And I said, no. Can I refill it in one of your taps? And they said, sure. So I refilled my plastic bottle and went on with my day. Not plastic. I'm so used to saying that word. Sorry.
Yeah, well done you, Paddy. I mean, I need to remind our listeners, you're 10, okay? What's it like being in the Dáil today? What does it mean to you, Paddy, to be able to speak in the Dáil?
It's, you see this on TV. I've watched some of the Oireachtas TV before.
Yeah.
And it's like a basin of politics squashed up and made into a stew.
Best description. Just the way of Do you feel excited to be there today, Paddy?
I feel extremely excited. One, because it's the Dáil. And two, because this is a chance to make a change in our civilization. And we have to do it, unless you want to move to another planet. I quite like this planet.
Paddy Shanahan from the Children's Dáil on the Today Show yesterday. Over on 2FM, they discovered that as part of its Climate Week, RTE came up with a particularly nasty punishment for those not doing their bit for the environment. Men in a camper van outside your house and hotheads in the kitchen.
What are these hotheads? What do you mean by hotheads?
They're like big cameras. They kind of look like Darth Vader.
Oh.
And yeah. They like stand. We had one in our kitchen and one in our sitting room.
Watching.
Yeah, just watching us constantly.
Jennifer Zamparelli was talking to the McKevitt family, who had an RTE TV crew living with them to record a climate crisis documentary.
We had a cameraman, which is Conor Dowling, who was just brilliant. We had data collectors, Ronan and Dave. We had sound engineers.
Living in your house?
Living in our house, in a camper van outside the house. And everything I would do, they would appear out of nowhere. It was like something from a horror film. I'd walk through the door and next thing, maybe the data collector would just turn out of nowhere. Hi, Jason. What did you have to eat today? What did you put in the fire? What did you do? And you were, oh. And then when I suppose I monitored myself, I said, sure, look, it'd be grand. I won't see this. But then there was hotheads in the house like Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And they were watching us as well. So everything.
Bet you're on your best behaviour. I bet there wasn't a row in the bloody house for the whole week.
And poor Jason had become famous as the man who burned plastic in the living room fire.
Shows you were then confronted with your crimes, so to speak, by a panel of experts. What was that like? I'll ask you first, Jason.
Do you know what? I didn't realise it was so bad till we went up to record the actual studio part with Maya and the four experts. And it was when we went down, you know, because the crew were brilliant. Hi, Jay, you're a great guy. And I'm going, oh, geez, I am a great guy. And we're all brilliant. And next thing we went out and we were faced with it. And next thing there was this big screen. And Maya said, right, guys, listen to this and watch this and run VT. And next thing I looked at the VT and here I'm burning the fire. And I'd be honest with you, you could just see the experts and they're just glaring at me. And especially Brian Kelleher, Dr. Brian Kelleher, who's actually a gentleman. But believe me, I wouldn't like him to mark my exams at university because I say he's a hard marker.
Well, you failed that test, didn't
you?
Oh,
I failed that test big time.
The McKevitts with Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM. But Jennifer had a test for her listeners. If the ideal is everyone doing their bit for the environment, what about the reality? Jennifer distilled the problem into one question.
Would you rather reduce your household waste for 1 week to the size of a sandwich bag? Think about that for a second. Or continue as you are now, but take a hit on your taxes. Ha ha ha. I, for one, would prefer to take a hit on my taxes. Throw money at the problem. Do it.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM. While over on Radio 1 at the same time, Miriam McCallaghan was hearing from Claire Downey about her solution to waste, the pop-up repair cafe, where you bring stuff to be fixed rather than throw it out.
And there is a huge hidden cost, I guess we're not really aware of, with buying new stuff because you have to extract raw materials, you have to process them, manufacture and distribute them. And take the fashion industry alone, we know that that has a bigger impact on climate change because of all these upstream effects than aviation and shipping combined. So it does have a huge hidden cost and that's what we're trying to avoid by keeping things going for longer.
Claire Downey from the Community Reuse Network. And fashion and the environment was the subject of the new RTE podcast.
Welcome to Dirty Laundry with me, Tara Stewart.
Tara Stewart spoke with Taz Kelleher and Geraldine Carton from Sustainable Dublin.
But it's women predominantly who are making the clothes. I mean, I think it's something more than 80% of the people making clothes in these factories are women and they're just being treated terribly. So,
so it's a bigger issue, not just climate. It is a feminist issue.
Oh, social, hugely so. Economic. Like
it, there's so many different levels to it. There are corners being cut and we're not seeing where those corners are being cut. We think we know the effects of climate change. It's a bit warm today. It was raining yesterday. But who's really seeing the effects of climate change and our consumerism is these developing countries who are essentially making this clothing for us to wear.
Mm-hmm.
I think the workers' conditions has kind of been known for a bit longer than the environmental effects of the fashion industry. And I think when we're faced with this climate crisis right now, we can't
emergency.
Mm-hmm. We can't turn on the news, we can't open the newspaper without seeing climate emergency. And I think people are finally linking the two and being like, this is a deep-rooted issue that has so many different kind of channels of harm, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe whilst in the past it was removed, now you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
From the new podcast, Dirty Laundry, you can't ignore it. You can try.
I kind of had to turn off the news at one point this morning. I just felt, oh, here we go. There's a lot of, and you can't do that.
and you can't eat that, and you can't go there, and you can't drink out of that, and you can't put that in your tree, and you can't...
You have to pity Ryan Tuberty. He's working for RTE, an organisation that has spent the week going on about issues like plastic in the sea, while also aiming to serve those who just love that sea of plastic. That is the Late Late Toy Show.
The good news is, Mark, you just won two tickets for the toy show. Congratulations.
I don't believe it.
It's as if RTE is spoiling its own house party while trying to save the house. So pity poor Ryan, because while Christmas is all about tradition, his listeners were having little of it. For them, Christmas is about innovation.
Use tin foil to wrap presents and it's shiny and you don't need to use sellotape. Thank you, Brendan from Cork. Morris says, buy nothing new. Martha says, 50 years ago, my aunt sent her Christmas cards with a little note inside and no writing on the card so it could be used again. And as regards cards and wrapping paper, they're recycled. Really, keeping wrapping paper from year to year means we have an adequate supply to last us the rest of our lives, says Flo.
While his listeners are happily chuntering along with suggestions, you can hear Ryan thinking about the toy show.
Just give me socks.
Yes.
Or toiletries, or sleeping bag, or rainproof gear. Wrap it all up and we put it in a big box and we bring the box down to the Capuchin Centre. Down to Brother Kevin.
What a brilliant thing to do.
What a brilliant thing to do. That's what Ryan may be saying out loud, but in his head he's saying, oh yeah, and how do you expect me to fill 3 hours of Toy Show TV with tinfoil, socks and a capuchin monk?
An example to us all, I suppose. Diane says, my parents would reuse the same cart to each other and add new messages each year.
Reality, getting in the way of ideals again. Ryan Tuberty on Radio 1.
Joy Crooks is 20 and she has an Irish father and a Bangladeshi mother.
And this is Philip King on The South Wind Blows.
Jafaris, this is early.
I think it's safe to say I don't see any other way, baby. I put a lot in the safe that you unlocked for me back when I was young, dumb, and feckless. Lies broke, rejected. Cool, calm, collected. That's when everything connected.
Look on both sides for you cross my heart. Choose to play your part, then you walk my way. Leave your luggage at the door. Got no sin, then throw the stone. Dusting off, let me unfold when you walk my way. Crooks, he told me not to fall in love too early. Cause he never listened, and he loved too early. I'm too early, was too early, why too early? I can't believe.
Early from Joy Crooks and Jafaris from The South Wind Blows on Radio 1. Just before the break, a joke from Marty Whelan's gagmeister, Tony.
Tony tells us his first girlfriend worked at a hospital and every Christmas and birthday she'd send him an x-ray of her chest. Apparently it sounds a bit weird, he says, but it shows her heart was in the right place.
Marty Whelan on Lyric FM, you cannot beat a good dad gag. Liveline, as you may know, has been taking so many calls over the past fortnight about bullying. Parents of children who are being bullied or people who are bullied. And then the other day, the programme got a call from Gerard.
One day in the schoolyard, I decided I would become a bully. Why?
That's correct, yeah. I was all of 12 years of age and I had a teacher, a Christian brother, who was... beating me quite viciously, very viciously, and some abuse as well. And so I had that all day, and then at night time I didn't have a very good relationship with my father. He had a drink problem and I was getting lots of beatings from him. So here I was being bed up during the day and then at night time the same. So I had only a bit of freedom during the afternoon. And something clicked one day in the schoolyard and I decided to become a bully. And unfortunately, from what was happening to me, I decided to do it to somebody else. So I picked out somebody who was weaker than me and I almost killed him.
And what did you do to him that leads you to say I nearly killed him?
I strangled him. He ended up in hospital. I choked him, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I grabbed him in a grip and almost killed him. but I lived with it for the rest of my life. I became a rip-roaring alcoholic, drug abuser for many, many years. And I don't know how I survived through the whole thing, but I did. And living with all of that, it's not possible to do it, really.
Okay.
And then a few months ago, I searched through Facebook, searched through everything, and eventually found contact.
Yeah.
And found out where he lived. And I drove up that laneway shaking. And I drove up into the laneway and the back door opened. And that 12-year-old boy, who's now in the mid-50s, he arrived out to me anyway. And I explained who I was. And he then remembered. He obviously wouldn't have recognized me.
Yeah.
We're two old men now, not two 12-year-olds, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, I'm here for a reason. And as if he knew what the reason was, I said to him, look, I just want to apologize for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And within seconds of me saying so, he says, no. He says, you're all right. He said, and it was as if he knew that I was always going to appear. What happened, happened. He said, I accept your apology. And within minutes, he tried to change the conversation to how his life, how telling me about his family, everything, you know, just to put me off. Because he could see the stress that I was under, or the anxiety, I suppose you'd call it.
Okay.
So we spoke for maybe half an hour, 40 minutes about everything. A lot of things in those few minutes. I won't ever forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And I shook hands with him and drove away with a big burden off my back.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Gerard from Liveline on Wednesday. The day before on the Today programme, Paddy O'Gorman was reporting from the Trim District Court.
This man had just been up before the court and he was freed pending a sentencing hearing. So he told me about his experience.
I got put back now till next month.
And what were you up for?
I was up for a few things, knife charges and criminal damage and all.
And what do you think's going to happen to you?
I don't know. Hopefully, I don't want to get locked up, like, but I don't know what happens. I hopefully get the Christmas out of it anyway, you know what I mean? Because I have a child and all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't want to be locked up for her.
Knife charges, that sounds frightening.
Yeah, I know. I was feuding with people, you know what I mean? And so I had to carry something, yeah. I've been stabbed before and all, so you'd be paranoid walking down the road if you didn't have something down the trousers, like, you know what I mean? My own safety, yeah.
And you're showing me on your arm you stabbed, yeah?
Yeah, my arm in there. I got 16 stitches, I did, yeah.
Feuding, I keep hearing about
feuding,
this.
Feuding, yeah. Fighting with people, no. It's people smashing my house up. But I ended up getting charged for it, so I was in Cloverhill then. I got out.
Did you smash up somebody's house?
Yeah.
And why did you smash up their house?
Because they smashed my house up. It was a feud, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tip for tat.
Do you not think this feuding is very stupid?
It is stupid, but once it comes to you, there's nothing you can do, like, you know what I mean?
Like, if somebody... See, what you think of this? If somebody smashed up my house, what I'd do is I'd go to the guards.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, but we're not rats.
Yeah.
We're not rats. We wouldn't go to the guards. We'd rather deal with it our own way.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
But you wouldn't go to the guards? Have
nah, I wouldn't go to the guards, nah.
Any chance the feud would come to an end?
I don't know. Maybe someday it will. Maybe it won't. I just don't know.
From outside Trim District Court on the Today programme, Paddy O'Gorman reporting. Reporter Joanna McNicholas was on Seascapes with her report from Westport Cruises' trip around Clue Bay.
Westport Cruises.
Tom King told her what they show visitors who take the trip.
We go by the site of the Achill disaster that happened in 1894 when 33 people lost their lives out there, and we tell everyone about the Achill disaster. We come to the Seal Colony then next. Further on our trip then we come to the Island of World Peace. It's an island owned by the Global Country of World Peace, and a man you might have heard of, the Maharaji Mahesh Yogi, visited the island in the 70s and the 80s. There's a lovely history there to that as well. We see two old Coast Guard stations along our way, one built in 1830 1830 and the other in 1870. Beautiful buildings. As we go further out then, we really come in amongst all of the islands. The site of Crowpatrick is constantly off to our left-hand side, that mountain towering over the bay. So we tell all about the history of the mountain and St. Patrick's time there. As we continue out the channel, out to John Lennon's Island is our furthest point. We come in along the shore of the island and we tell people about John Lennon's visits to the island, about the hippie commune that existed out there. I'd invite your listeners maybe to Google Tribe of the Sun and they'll see a 20-minute long documentary that was made when there was a hippie commune living on Dornish Island, John Lennon's Island, from 1970 and 1972, all spearheaded by a man called Sid Rawl, who was the self-appointed king of the hippies in Britain. And then, of course, we just go slightly over towards Inishgart Lighthouse and the most spectacular panoramic view comes of Clare Island in the distance just over the bar at the mouth of Clue Bay. I call it the million-dollar shot, just that escape of Clare Island and Old Head and Achill Island and Achillbeg. The bay just opens up. It's a beautiful sight.
Sounds gorgeous. Tom King on the Clue Bay cruise from Seascapes. On Songs in My Head, Noel Hogan from the Cranberries took Anne-Marie Kelly through the songwriting process he used with Dolores O'Riordan.
First I'd send her like, so there's a very rough mix, sit down. And I just MP3 it over to her.
Yeah.
And this could have gone with maybe two or three other songs from around that time. Mm. And she'll go, I love that one or I love this one. And she'd pick a couple. So then what would happen is a few days might go by, maybe a few weeks sometimes. And she'll send back an idea. She'll go, look, I have an idea. And she'll, in her apartment in New York, she would have kind of sung and, you know, over this then. And I remember I got back very quickly the first verse and chorus. And it was, you know, the opening line that everybody knows now of about, you know, the hotel in London.
Do you remember the night at a hotel in London they started to fight?
All the way up to that chorus.
She told the man that she fell on the ground. She was afraid that the truth would be found.
Dolores O'Riordan from Songs in My Head on Radio 1. Over in 2FM on the Dave Fanning Show, there was songwriting too, but it was Bill Bailey's take on it, as introduced by Owen Sweeney. Not very reverential.
Oh, just play it. It's just funny. Here he is, okay, kind of going behind the scenes of the tricks that musicians use, in this case, The Edge.
Now, you know that band U2, right? They've basically got this one sound, don't they? Yeah, right. So, without these effects, they're nothing, right? It's just all effects. Even a troll-like figure can recreate them. I'll give you a demonstration of a catastrophic technical failure at the U2 gig, right?
Bill Bailey is heard on the Dave Fanning Show on 2FM, and that's it for this week. If you go to the playback page on rte.ie, you'll find a list of all the items in the programme with links to the relevant shows. And from me until next week, Slán.